Hello again. Welcome to Earth Eats, a program of real food and green living. I'm Annie Corrigan.
And I'm Chef Daniel Orr.
Yep, he's a big deal over there. He's from Columbus, Indiana, and he's also a world-renowned chef, like a hometown boy come back home, right? From but you're in the Caribbean, you're in Europe, all over the place.
And 18 years in Manhattan.
And today on Earth Eats, we catch up with a beekeeper turned author. This should be an interesting show.
Susan Brackney has a bee in her bonnet, and today she's going to make a beeline to the honeypot to speak about her new book, Plan B. It's all about our friends and neighbors, the hardest working insects on the planet. Bees are major players in the production of just about everything we bring to the table. So this week's Earth Eats celebrates these creative little creatures and all that they do for us. Buzzwords like hive, swarm, and honey will be discussed. Whether you're a bug lover or a bug hater, this shouldn't sting too badly. So let's get a buzz on with Susan.
Oh, I should have counted the puns. I should have counted. Love it. Actually, Chef, today is the first of a three-part series about bees and honey and the people who love both.
Oh, yeah. And I think it's just amazing how these people do have a little community of their own, and they all know one another. And it's a great thing to get involved in, whether you decide to raise bees, plant plants for the bees, or just buy some good local honey.
Yeah, absolutely. So today it is our chat with Susan Brackney. If you want to see pictures of Ms. Brackney in her bee bonnet, go to our website, wfiu.org/eats.
I became a beekeeper in sort of an accidental way. I knew that bees were running out of places to live, and I'm a big gardener, and I also knew that they were really going to make my strawberries and blueberries and stuff just go bananas, and they did. A friend of mine went garage sailing one day, and he found all the bee equipment I would need to become a beekeeper. It's funny, the guy who was selling his stuff, he was a beekeeper, and he married a woman who was allergic to bees.
Oh, no!
And as a result, he decided to give up his hobby, which I think is very sweet. I mean, a more cynical person would have put it in storage, don't you think?
Yeah. So tell us a little bit about the get-up that you put on. You have the hat, of course, with the mesh that comes tight around your neck.
I do. I have this nice mesh veil that keeps them, when the guard bees notice that something's up and somebody's messing around, they might start flying and they might ping off of the sides of this. When that starts to happen, I realize I've worn out my welcome. But I do. I wear gloves that go up my elbows, and they have nylon sleeves because nylon is slippery to a bee's feet, so they can't really grab on very well. If they have trouble grabbing on, you're obviously not going to have as much trouble with a sting. I certainly have to have my bee smoker.
Right.
Smoke disrupts their ability to communicate with each other because they talk with smells, I guess you could say. So a little puff of smoke here or there can direct their movements in the hive, but also sort of mask that message of, hey, I think there's someone in our hive messing around. I think we better go get her.
I want to know how many times you've been stung.
Oh, when I first started, a lot. A lot. Because I was doing a lot of stuff wrong, and they were trying to tell me, you really suck. When I realized some of the mistakes I was making, the stinging completely stopped. But one afternoon, just to give you a taste, I was stung 13 times through my suit, through my jeans.
And you're still raising bees, even after that.
I have to admit that I was frightened of my new hobby. Now it's better. We're on much better terms.
So what sort of things were you doing wrong that they were trying to tell you about?
Well, I was trying to look at their hive while standing right in the front of their hive, right in the runway where they're trying to come and go. You never do that. You stand behind the hive. And, okay, let's say I did get stung on through my suit or through my gloves. Well, the next time around when it's time for me to inspect and I put that same stuff on, they can still smell the alarm pheromone. That's enough to set them off. How hard is it to throw my gear in the washing machine? Lazy. So now I know, and now I don't get stung. Oh, the smoke that I was using was way too hot. Well, I would sting me too if I was, you know, getting scorched with a hot flame every now and then. Wouldn't you?
Oh, heck yeah.
So, And really, the only time you're in danger of being stung is when you're messing with a beehive, silly. So if you're just a regular person out in the world and you see a bee on a flower, that bee has bigger projects on her mind than you.
So walk away.
Just walk away.
In kind of closing, why don't you tell us how people that are listening to Earth Eats can possibly help out and feed our little friends the bees?
Oh, yes. There are so many things you can do to help bees without being a beekeeper. One thing is you can raise the deck on your mower, maybe half inch or an inch, and let some of those clover heads go. And dandelions, those are okay. Those aren't weeds. Those are flowers.
You can cook them up, too.
You can. You can eat the greens. They're a really rich source of pollen, and that's important for the bees, too. And try to make it so that you have something in bloom almost every month of the year, if possible.
Also, in the fall, if you leave some of your land to go and you have the goldenrods and some of those late summer fall greens to feed the bees, that also helps.
Yes, and those produce some of the darkest, most complex honeys. Some people really don't like late season wildflower honey, but I think it's one of my favorites. It's almost as black as molasses, and it's just delicious.
Author and beekeeper Susan Brackney. Check out her new book, Plan B. There are fun stories and pictures in this book. Definitely worth the read. She was talking a wee bit about honey at the end there, and we'll get more into honey in the two upcoming installments of Bees and Honey and the People Who Love Both. That's coming up in the next couple weeks here on Earth Eats. You can get even more Earth Eats action by following our updates on Twitter. Just look for Earth Eats, one word, or become a fan of us on Facebook.
Support for Earth Eats comes from Blooming Foods Market and Deli. Information at bloomingfoods.coop.
But support also comes from listeners like you. Yep, you, right there. Help us continue to bring Earth Eats to you free of charge by becoming a member at wfiu.org/EarthEats.
On the website, there's an awful lot to look at. Photos, recipes, older episodes, pictures of me.
Woohoo!
Check it all out at wfiu.org/EarthEats. Earth Eats is a production of WFIU Public Media.
Some parting words of wisdom from Susan Brackney.
A swarm in June's worth a silver spoon. A swarm in July, let them fly. But I think that's a bunch of hooey.
I'm Annie Corrigan.